What a great joy it is for me to preach about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is and why it is so important that we know who the Holy Spirit is and we acknowledge the Holy Spirit and we seek His voice in our hearts and our lives. Next Sunday on the church calendar is the day of Pentecost. And most churches, many churches, will be celebrating Pentecost next Sunday. We're starting early. We're starting today. And I'm going to preach about the Holy Spirit. I have three sermons that I feel like, if the Lord allows me to do that and encourages me to do that, I'm going to preach about the Holy Spirit out of the next 4 weeks. And I want to tell you what they are. Next Sunday is graduation Sunday, and we're featuring our graduates, and that's exciting. Today, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost and some things about who the Holy Spirit is and why He's so important to us. 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, I'm planning on preaching about the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and what you believe about that is so important to your faith and your life. We always say how important it is what you believe about Jesus, and that is absolutely true. What you really believe about Jesus is so important. And we would say that what we believe about God the Father is so important in His plan. But I also want to say, in 2 weeks, Lord willing, I'm going to preach about why it is so important to believe the right things about the Holy Spirit, because if you don't get that right, if the Holy Spirit isn't in the right place in your life as a believer, you can be so disconnected from the will of God. The Holy Spirit is so important. And then 3 weeks from today, Lord willing, if we continue to go that direction, I want to preach about resisting the Holy Spirit and what it does to the church. When our church is not full of people who are listening to the Holy Spirit, every person, from the preacher who stands here to the people leading our music to our greeters in the back and our ushers to our sound team to everyone who interacts in any way in this church, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't have a chance of having a witness in this community. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit of God and allowing Him to speak to our hearts and change us and fill us and guide us. If that's not who we are, we don't have a chance of fulfilling the call that God gives to the church. The Holy Spirit is so important. For the last 6 weeks, I've been thinking about this series. I've been thinking about today and preaching about the Holy Spirit. Knowing it's a week before Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 days. 50 days from Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit came upon Jerusalem and on the disciples that were there. And so when we talk about Pentecost, we're talking about an important time and change and event that God has given us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Two things there. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When the Holy Spirit is in charge of your life, you will have power, not your own, but God's power that is amazing. and you'll have the power to witness and make a difference in people's lives. When you sense and you feel the fullness of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, all of us as Christians, if you hear my voice today and you're a believer, we should be praying, God, help me to be filled with the Spirit of God. Help me to hear. Help me to listen. And so we're going to worship over the next 3 out of 4 Sundays the Holy Spirit. We talk about worshiping Jesus. We even kind of talk about worshiping God, and we think of worship as the heavenly angels and all that, and that's all good and right, but I also want to say the Holy Spirit is to be worshiped too. Worship not only in maybe what we say and we acknowledge, but even more important, that the Holy Spirit should be deeply valued by every one of us. Deeply valued. I had the privilege on Wednesday night to talk to some of our teens. Boy, did I enjoy that. I told Debbie when I got home, I really got to preach into them about the Holy Spirit. Because if this current young generation doesn't get it about the Holy Spirit, I don't know what will happen to the church. And if the older generation loses its moorings on how important it is to seek and search for the Holy Spirit of God, then I don't know what's going to happen to the church. Oh, we need the same Holy Spirit presence as they had on the day of Pentecost. We need to realize how powerful the Holy Spirit is and wants to be in our lives. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them with a specific role, all of them with a specific personality, all of them a distinguishable feature. People for 2,000 years have tried to describe the Holy Spirit, and I am no better off than anybody else trying to do that. The Bible gives us some things, though, to help us to see what the Holy Spirit is, who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a who? A living, eternal being, like Jesus, like God the Father. And he has a place in your faith, in your journey with God. Let me read the first 4 verses of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Although Acts chapter 2 tells the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit, there have been many glimpses of His coming all throughout the revelation of God. Throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and visited people, and God the Father sent the Spirit to do certain miracles and powers and speak to people and draw them. And then, as best I understand it, the Holy Spirit did not stay with man as in the New Testament. He came and he went at the bidding of the Father. Way back in the book of Genesis, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Back in the creation, we have the fullness of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We know that the Son spoke the world into existence. By His hands, the universe was made, and God the Father worked all through the creation story, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has had a role from the beginning of creation of man and human history. But at Pentecost, something changed completely. Just like when Jesus came and became a baby, something changed as God's plan was unfolding. Well, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, something changed. The Holy Spirit of God stepped forth onto the earth and into the lives of those that would choose to believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world. Pentecost was the beginning of something. On the day of Pentecost, we know some things about what the disciples were doing. Number one, we know that they were simply obeying what Jesus had told them, for Jesus had said that after I ascend into heaven, I want you to wait. And so they were obeying Jesus and they were waiting. They were waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. I'm sure they had very little idea what was going to happen. Although they may have known the scripture in Amos that talked about in the last days the Holy Spirit will be poured out on your sons and daughters. Maybe they had an inkling of that. I don't know if they did or not, but I know that Jesus told them to wait. And so they waited. They waited. For 10 days they waited. They were praying earlier, it said in the book of Acts. One other little thing about them that is found in this first chapter of Acts is that they were in one accord. One translation says they were together. There was a unity to these people as they were waiting on the Holy Spirit. They already were doing what God told them to do. They already had hearts that were responsive and receptive, and they were wanting to know what God said to them. They were wanting to know the next steps. And so Acts 2 paints this picture of these people in this upper room, men and women, and who had followed Jesus and witnessed his death and witnessed his resurrection and knew that God was calling them. Jesus had told them on at least three occasions at least. He said that you have a mission, go into all the world and be my witnesses. He said it three different times, three different ways. That's the calling. They knew what they were to do, but they knew they weren't ready yet. They knew they weren't prepared yet. They knew they weren't equipped yet. And so they waited like Jesus told them to. And then on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. The day of Pentecost changed the disciples. The day of Pentecost changed the world. You think about those disciples. I think often bring up Peter and how Peter was such a leader, but sometimes not very smart, not very wise, and he didn't get it a lot of the time. But Jesus said, Peter, hang in there. I'm going to use you. I got my eye on you to be the leader. He told him, and people would say, why Peter? All the dumb things he says, you know. God saw him, and you think of all the things that Peter did wrong, and he did a lot, you know, but it's better to do something wrong than nothing at all, I might say. But on the day of Pentecost, everything changed for Peter. Because on the day of Pentecost, Peter, with his heart open to God, the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him the power. And Peter became a great leader. He became a great spokesman, a great apostle, a great effective communicator for the gospel. I think of all the words in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, one of the key words to me is the word power. The Holy Spirit can give us something that nothing else can in our spiritual lives. I'm talking about our spiritual lives. Power. Power to be a Christian. Power to live it out. Power to put in, to transmit into our everyday lives our faith and put it into action and make it work and make it effective. The Holy Spirit somehow completes a circuit. However you want to think of the circuit, maybe a square or triangle, I don't know, but you have God the Father, you have God the Son, you have God the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's five. You have us. Then you have a broken world who needs Jesus and faith. If any one of those five are not present, then the church can't do what it's supposed to do. If we're not connected to people in the world and have a heart for them and the ability to interact with them, then there cannot be the Great Commission. And if we leave out any one of who God is, the Father and His plan, Jesus and His salvation, or the Holy Spirit and the power, there's no way that we can be effective. Or maybe I'm thinking of a five-way circuit here. A lot of Christians give more thought and attention to certain pieces of the circuit, but they might not realize how important the Holy Spirit is in that who they are and what they do. The coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, truly, it was the birthday of the church. It was the birth of something new that Jesus loves. I was on the internet a few days ago and reading about the Holy Spirit and about the church and a lot of things related to the church. And I was reading all these people's comments and issues and problems about the church and their complaints about the church and why the church is or isn't and all that. And I just kind of thought, boy, they're really missing it. See, they're thinking of the church as a totally human institution instead of a church that Jesus loves and the power of the Holy Spirit can speak to and help. Truly, Pentecost is the birth of something new. Also, Pentecost is a promised event. Pentecost is a promised event. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 16. He said several times, I promise you, my Father will send the Holy Spirit. I am going away, but my Father will send the Holy Spirit. I just noticed something. I'm going to interrupt myself here with technology. It looks like we lost our phone people, did we? If we did, can we try to reboot if that's the problem? I don't know if that's the problem or not. All kinds of things I see and notice from these monitors and things, but I'm wondering if we got all disconnected. So let's wait for a minute and see. Oh, maybe they're there. Why don't you unmute Art Page and let me talk to him. Art, can you hear me? Art Page. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to see if you were on. All right. Thank you, brother. I love you. Okay. Number two, the day of Pentecost is a promised event. Promised. That means it was planned by God. You know, we think of how, and we quote how often Jesus was the Lamb from the foundation of the world and that God had this plan all in motion through the Old Testament and the prophets and Abraham and his chosen people and lead us up to Jesus. And that's, we see that part of the plan. But also the Holy Spirit is a part of that plan too. And the Holy Spirit being here today in the lives of the believer are part of the plan of God, just as Jesus dying on the cross was. Both of them are very important to the plan of God. And so it's a planned event. It's a promised event. The Holy Spirit available to you is a promise from God. And so don't think that God just kind of came along and said, well, hey, wait, maybe we'll throw in the Holy Spirit to the deal. We'll think of a couple things the Holy Spirit can do to help people. No, that's a part of the whole plan for you spiritually, is to be connected to the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Pentecost also brought us the person of God. Pentecost assured us, again, of the very person of God to be with us in our day, in our age. When Jesus came, he was there in the flesh. People could see God. And after Jesus went to heaven, God sent his Holy Spirit so that we could see God. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it is God himself. It is not a messenger. It is not a telephone. It is not a pipeline. It is God himself that speaks to your heart on the inside. The same God who speaks to your conscience. The same God that puts within you that sense of listening and doing what he guides you and shows you to do. It's God's Spirit that draws us to him. And so that's a part of the plan from the beginning. Fully revealing the truth of God. Testifying to Jesus. Showing us all of God's revelation. And he is that ongoing presence of God in your life. The ongoing presence of God in your life. I know that we use the term Jesus is always with us. He is. Again, there's a sense of eternity. There's a sense of our theology that we can't really explain it. But Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We know that he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for the saints. He's somehow connected to us there. And the Holy Spirit is here inside of every believer. The Bible says when you become a Christian, God gives you the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. And like every gift, you choose whether to accept it or not. You choose whether to make use of it or not. You choose whether to listen to it or not. But it's there. It's available to you if you'll listen to what he says to you. The Holy Spirit is the most important teacher we can have. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is the most important teacher we can have. Depending on your age, you might still have your parents, your mom or your dad or a grandparent or somebody to guide you. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone at church. Maybe it's someone that you have seen has a genuine faith and you really respect them. God can use people like that in your life, and he does. But I also want to say that God's Spirit will speak to you directly if you'll listen. If you'll listen to him, God's Holy Spirit will show you what is right. He will show you what you should do. There's no one more important for you to listen to than the Holy Spirit. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The whole passage talks about the Holy Spirit, but I just want to read three verses about what it says. This is a great chapter to read about the role of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those that love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Think of that. All the things that God has for you in this day, he's showing you through the Holy Spirit. So be thankful for that. Then we go on to verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. There are things in your life spiritually that you will never get unless you listen to the Holy Spirit. Decisions about your life, what you focus on, you'll never get them unless you listen to the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, the person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject merely to human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? The Holy Spirit is so important to you knowing the heart of God. The Holy Spirit is your connection to truth. The Holy Spirit is your connection to truth because the Holy Spirit reveals truth. He's God's ongoing truth revealer. I've said this before as a pastor, and I think other pastors wouldn't say it this way, but this kind of been one of my things I have said several times. You've probably heard me say it. I am not called to tell you what to think. That's not my calling. It's not even my calling to tell you what to believe. That might sound confusing. It's my calling to tell you to listen to the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. Don't put that on anybody else. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts you in your heart and your spirit, don't blame anybody else for it. When he speaks to you about an attitude, don't blame your mom or an old preacher or TV or what you watch on TV or what you listen to. The Holy Spirit is your friend and helper. Don't push him away. Listen to him. God wants you to listen to the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Well, one thing is you have to put away your own pride. And that's hard to do. You have to put away stubbornness. You have to put away that attitude. I already know it. I already know everything. And you have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to say, God, anything you want to say to me, I'll listen. Jesus, I've said this yesterday to somebody, and I've said it several times later. Jesus is so wise. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever it is that you focus on and you hold on to and you... it's where your heart's going to be. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. This past Monday, I went home. Brought things back from Dad's house, and we were dividing things up and talking about the estate and, you know, all the things that you have to do. And sure enough, I don't know where to stand. I'm hoping that you guys can see this. This old radio here. How about that? Boy, does this radio have memories to me. When I was a little kid, Mom and Dad would have this radio on, and you'd hear it from upstairs in the morning. I forget, there was some, I think it was out of Miamisburg, Ohio, but it was some Christian radio station, and they'd play music in the morning, and I just woke up to that every day. And then if I could get them to let me, I would listen to the Cincinnati Reds baseball game later in the day and that night. I hadn't seen this radio in a long time. It was kind of fun to go home and see things, you know, that I had as a kid, and I brought a bunch of stuff back. Debbie's going, oh man, where are we going to put all this, you know? But I said to my sister, Joy, what are we going to do with the radio? And she said, I don't know. Do you want it? I said, oh, I'd love it. So I brought it back. I realized that that radio doesn't do anything for me unless I turn it on. So I was curious. I thought, I wonder if it still works. I don't know. It's probably 50, 60 years old. I don't know. So I turned the knob and nothing happened. Plugged it in, the old plug. And then I remembered back when I was a kid, it'd take 5 minutes to warm up anyway. So I turned it on. Well, to make a long story short, it still works. Not like the new ones, but it works. And I was thinking how that to me, might not anybody else, but to me, that represents the Holy Spirit. I have to turn it on. I have to get in tune with it. I have to play with the dial a little bit. I mean, I remember it used to be, you know, you'd have it in. It's not like the digital or whatever, you know, but you had to keep going back and forth. Maybe turn the radio a certain way, and then it's, you got it. And I think how the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, but we have got to focus on it and tune it in. If we don't tune it in, we won't hear it. But oh, how God wants to speak to us today. I pray that you will value the Holy Spirit. Think about what that means. That might mean thinking about your schedule. I have found in my life the Holy Spirit doesn't hit me over the head. It hasn't very often. When I have sensed the Holy Spirit, it's always been when I quiet myself. So if you want the Holy Spirit, let's say to you today, quiet yourself before Him. And He'll answer your questions. Some of you out there are going to have a lot of them. Somebody might be listening this morning and you just wonder where God is. Why don't I ever hear God? Why don't I see Him? I just want to say to you, if you're listening today, quiet yourself before God. You have to turn off the other noise, all the other interference, and God's Spirit will speak to your heart. I know He does that. He's done that for me. Debbie, would you lead us in that chorus? Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Father, for the Son. I thank You for the Spirit. I thank You, God, that when we understand who You are in Your fullness, oh, it just brings us a sense of relationship and connection that's really powerful. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I pray that I would not take that for granted. I pray, God, that I would listen to Your Spirit. I pray, God, that whatever You want to say to me, that You have that freedom to speak. Lord God, speak to us through Your truth, for Your word is truth, and Your Spirit is truth. Help us to seek You today. God, for those that might be listening today, I pray that just now they would take a moment and ask You to fill them with Your Spirit, that they would ask You to come into their heart, for Your forgiveness and relationship with You, and know that they can take that step today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to say to those that are listening today that maybe God is prompting your heart to make that decision, to make that choice to step closer to God. I just want to say to you, if you want to talk about that, call me, call the church. Send me a note. I would love to be able to talk to you about who God is. If there's anything that you'd like for us to pray about in your life, if you would let us know that. Pray that God will speak to you in your heart and your life. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for those that are here in the congregation. So good to see your faces, to be with you today. Next Sunday, graduation Sunday, looking forward to that. Pastor Eric Smith and Vanessa will be with us. They're going to be here in person. Eric's going to be preaching. Many of you know that Eric grew up in this church, teen group, caravan, and God called him to preach, and now he's preaching in near Landover, Maryland, and they're going to come and be here next Sunday. Looking forward to that. Those on Zoom, blessings. Glad you're with us today. I can see a few faces there. Those that are on the phone with us today, so glad you've been able to join us and be with us. To each one of you, wish you God's best and God's presence. Hope you have a great day. God bless. Also, I see an online activity board there. I don't know if that one, if you see it or not, but we have our devotional time at 4 o'clock today, and a lot of other information on our church website. And so if you want to get on mifnaz.org and see the platform of things that we're doing,